is March 23rd, 2005. This is public hearing on House Bill 5038. And this is a subcommittee on Ways and Means on Human Services. And today we're going to be reviewing the prioritized list for the Department of Human Services. I'd like to begin with kind of an overview from John Britton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. What we have put together and what we've handed out to the audience this morning is a ranking of the DHS prioritized list based on four responses from subcommittee members as to how they would rank things. So if you look over at the far left column, Human Services Subcommittee in the shaded area, the preliminary ranking is how this subcommittee, or the four members of this subcommittee who turned their sheets in, ranked these programs. According to Sheila, the average score is not correct, but the ranking is correct, and the range of ranks are correct. So if you look at the first one, the ranking, the preliminary ranking, the first two were tied, so they each got a rank of 1/2. The range on the first one, one person gave it a 1, or I don't know how many people, but the range was from 1 to a fourth rank. The next column over, the fourth column, which is not shaded, is the DHS ranking. So there is complete consistency on the first three items, for example, between those who voted or who cast a ballot, I guess, or put this together, and the DHS priorities. In other words, medical assistance programs, OHP payments, for the four that submitted papers was 1 or 2, and for DHS, that was also number 1 on their list. If you go down the list, though, for example, to our number 4, the range was, somebody ranked it, that doesn't make sense to me, but I think there's a mistake on that one. Let's go to the next one. Our fifth rank, the scores or the ranges were a 4th rank to a 37th rank. This was DHS's 4th rank in their order. Again, it was 4 subcommittee members who submitted their materials. Some of the ranges are considerably divergent. 50 ranks difference, if you will, or more. All right.
Okay. Well, we are not called upon to vote on this prioritization list, but merely to do our best to give our idea of it to the co-chairs. And this draft contains the best that we've been able to do so far. What I'd like to do today would be to go through the list and determine if there's areas that we need to flag and that we need more information on, so that as we go into phase two, we can know where we really want to focus. And so to accomplish that, maybe we could look at, just kind of go through the list fairly quickly. If you have questions you want to ask, we can do that, or we can save those and kind of bore down in phase two. The first three, it looks like we have a consensus certainly there that they stay the same. The last four on page one, on the next to the last one, there's a range of from 1 to 41, and this is the long-term care state-operated community programs. This is the $282,000 a person that we discussed in phase one. Any on this first page that any of us on the committee would really like to focus on specifically?
Mr. Chair, just under number 6, the 1 to 41, people might look at that and go, well, how can it be, 1 to 41? That's a heck of a heck of a spread, but I think it legitimately reflects some of the, you know, the vital need and services that is being performed, you know, in this particular area, contrasted with very high cost, and where could those dollars perhaps be better spent? I think that's a very accurate reflection of some of the decision making that the committee went through when establishing those ranks. I don't see a discrepancy there. I see a good internalizing of the issue.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a new appreciation for what DHS went through in their rankings, because we're talking about a consensus of a small group, and they had to come up with a consensus of probably a much larger group, and I can sure see the differences of opinion that can end up affecting the numbers. Mr. Britton.
Yes, let me go back to our number four, because the way this was done, the ranks or the range is correct. It was range. The ranges were from 10 to 14, and when you average those that range or the scores, it actually received a lower score or a higher priority than the ones falling
because of the averaging.
Correct. So the range again, the ranking of number four here is based on the average score. Now the average score isn't right, the 20 isn't right, but the 10 to 14 means that the average of those scores probably fell between 10 and 14 or 11 or 12.
Mr. Chair, to make the example a little more illustrative, let me give you the correct average score for those two pieces. The average score for the number four family shelter is 11.50. And then the next one following that is 15.50. So we do, the ranking was based on the correct average scores. It's just that the correct average score that we linked to that column didn't come over in the correct way. So as John said, the preliminary ranking is correct and the range is correct. But if you look at that average score, in many cases, you're going to be confused.
But the other point is that the range, even though it's from 10 to 14, averaged to a lower score than other ones.
Well, you know, the difference between being number four or number five or number six out of 73 is not hugely significant. Certainly, I think what we end up with is kind of high priority, medium priority, and low priority that then is placed into a numerical order as best we can. And but it's not real significant as far as what the actual number is.
Mr. Chairman,
here. Even Representative Hansen and Senator Parker.
Even looking at number six with the range of 1 to 41, if we were using high, medium, and low, the difference would be it'd be ranked high and medium by the full range of people.
Well, it actually depends. If we have four people, if there could have been three that ranked it as one and one as 41,
yeah,
then we don't really know.
So it would be three highs and a medium.
Yeah, that's right. Or the other way.
Yeah.
Well, this is exercise.
Mr. Chairman, I just want this committee to know right now that I'm going to probably skew your numbers, because there's absolutely no way that I could do this with any brevity. I had to think about it and mull it over, and I doubt if I got any one of my numbers over 10 because of the significance that this agency plays with people, because I tried to put it in a way that vital needs and just general, you know, subject arena. So I'm probably going to skew your number, because I'm never at anything above a 10.
We were just following the direction of the vice co-chairs and their leaders, who said rank this from 1 to 73.
Right.
Now, if you'd like to change it would make it a whole lot easier, but we wish we would have heard that about a week ago. But I understand. It is. It's very difficult, because what do these numbers really mean when we're dealing with such important issues?
Well,
Senator Bates and Senator Morrison.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was one of those that let Mr. Britton know that my rankings fell pretty much along the same lines as DHS, yet I don't think mine were included as such. And so it's, in a sense, I felt my my ranking should have been submitted in writing, but I didn't because it was exactly the same as what DHS had. So if you want to add my numbers into that to skew the range, I should have made myself more clear. I found it very difficult to try to, I just didn't know the ramifications. And so I went along with exactly what DHS had done, and I wanted to get that on the record because I know, obviously, my rankings weren't included.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I ranked all 73, although I think I ended up missing about three that I could never locate.
Uh-oh.
So my numbers didn't quite. But, you know, I spent a great deal of time with this. By the same token, of a layperson outside of that philosophy or outside of that discipline, trying to understand the ramifications of prioritizing 73 programs, I certainly reserve the right to be smarter tomorrow or the next day or later on. And I think we need to look at this as pretty preliminary.
It is, and understand this is there will be no funding allocations based on this list that we're submitting to the co-chairs, but it gives them an idea of at least the fact that we have struggled to try and come up with some way to do this. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to have to leave to go to another meeting this morning, but I wanted to at least make a little bit of a statement here. I think this is an academic exercise only that I think we should look at from that point of view, what you just alluded to, and I appreciate that. This very much reminds me of what took 4 years to do approximately 20 hours a week in healthcare when we prioritize healthcare issues. These were life and death issues, as these are. And we came up a list of 750 items in healthcare with very specific and very well-known outcomes. And that was took us 4 years. And the top 150 of those, you could not split a hair between because they all led to a patient's death within a few days if you didn't take care of them. This kind of prioritization, I think, falls in the same type of situation. You look at the top 30 or 40 things here, and you could make a case for any one of them being number one. And if these things aren't taken care of, if a child is in an abusive situation at a home where it's immediate risk of death, and we don't have a foster home to put that child in, we have no relief nursery to put that child in, is the policeman going to take him home to his house? I mean, what's going to happen here? So these are life and death situations here, and I think we all appreciate that. We're also working from a situation where you look at a line item here and you're not necessarily sure exactly what that program says or does. And when you take a day to go find out what that program does, as some of you have done and I have occasionally done, you find out it's an incredibly important program and you find out why it's so expensive. And I think we understand all those things. We want to make that clear. And I appreciate that we've gone through this. When we do prioritization of natural resources and K-12 and other programs, it's a lot easier. It is a lot easier and, frankly, makes a lot more sense. This is almost a futile effort, but I appreciate that you asked us to do it, the co-chairs asked to do it, and we have done it.
Senator Carter.
I'll take myself from being a committee person and be the vice chair. I have to tell you that this will not be a futile effort. The co-chair's budget is dependent upon your priorities here, and you should know that the higher the number is for the priority, that could, will be considered a cut in the co-chair's budget. So this is not an academic exercise.
No, I understand it's not academic, but phase two, at the end of phase two, it'll be looked at again.
You'll have another chance to have a cut at it. But I just want you to seriously know that the co-chair's budget will reflect what you said the priorities are in this department or any other departments that we're dealing with. And that's why I was saying it was hard for me, which means that when I give my top number, a priority is a 10. And more than likely, a 10 will fall in under not being cut. And when you look at that whole range in the co-chair's budget. So you should know that the higher, the least the priority is in this department, the most likely will be the cut.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Wesson.
I love it when Senator Bates and Senator Carter.
I bet you do.
Say two diametrically opposed statements that end up in exactly the same place that functionally say every line item on this sheet is critically important.
That's right.
To the health, well-being, wellness, and in Dr. Bates' words, life and death of many of our citizens. Mm-hmm. And that's what you both said, and that's what I appreciate.
He's pretty prophetic this morning.
This is you know, deep. Any further thoughts as we continue with this process?
I don't mean to put Representative Hansen on Hannah, notice, but I didn't hear. I'd love to hear some thoughts. Hear some of your thoughts.
No, Neil Hansen.
Representative Hannah. I'd love. He works in this community.
He works very hard at this.
That's
thank you, Senator Carter, Mr. Chairman. I was staying out of the fray because much of what has been said is true. I guess I would say that to go through this process that we have done in terms of prioritizing every line item within this budget gives one an entirely different perspective and a perspective that I would hope every citizen might have an opportunity to get. It is a gut check. Mm-hmm. It makes you form decisions about those people who in our society cannot serve themselves and need needed services by the state. So regardless of how useful this document might ultimately end up being, the exercise of going through it, I would hope, would make each one of us better at what we do, more informed about what we do. I hope we did find line items that we didn't understand and we got a hold of somebody in order to find out about it. Because if you ranked one and you didn't know, you probably shouldn't have. I appreciate the process. I appreciate the effort that went into it, and I'm thankful to have been part of it. I hope that the co-chairs and vice chairs do use it as a guiding tool for decisions they make, because the effort that went into it would be for naught if it was not. And you know, many of these people that sit in this room have heard the entire testimony that each of us has heard, and I think they have a right to know as well what we thought of that testimony, and this is somewhat of a way to validate their thinking as well. So I appreciate the process.
All right. Should we continue? We can go to page... Well, I think the ones at the highest of the list are the easiest because there's some uniformity in our responses. On page 2, we have ranked... across the board as far as the various clusters, and let's just look down the list and see if there's areas here that you would like to have additional information that we need to star on. Or we're going to end up going through all of it in phase 2. Areas of key focus.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
When I look at the departments, these departments are here.
Yes.
Number 45 medical assistance program CHIP payments. I thought that was kind of interesting since it's the children's program, and so maybe in round 2 I'd like to get the department reflect on that a little.
Okay.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We want to focus on CHIPs to make sure that we...
Which one?
Number 45.
It's our preliminary ranking number 10.
Oh, that's rank number 10?
Our number 10. Interesting that it was DHS was number 45.
Right.
But we'll like that. I I'd like to see us focus on the drug and alcohol treatment and sending out my request for input from people in the community. I got a response from a man who runs a community center and has been doing this for decades, and his suggestion was that we need to look closely at this as far as the as far as its value, because he said that in the measuring, often they measure did they complete the program, not did they stay free from drugs and alcohol for a year afterward, and that his experience is that a tremendous amount of time and money is spent on it, but the success is actually very low as far as people not going back into drugs and alcohol. And his own comment was the community services, the Alcoholics Anonymous and other programs have about as good a success as we have putting in tremendous amounts of money into this program. So we had to look at this.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I admit that we need to examine these programs carefully because they play a part. If we take the latest incidences or rashes of drug activity, which is methamphetamine, mm-hmm. if we are, and usually the people end up in jail. And so to me, the criteria should be altering behavior, but looking at how that behavior is sustained in the sense that did the person return to jail, because recidivism is very high in this state. And if we're not keeping people out of jail in terms of their behavior that got them there, then to me that should be earmarked as one of the priorities that we look at in terms of deterrence. And if we're not doing that, then we're not being as successful as we need to do, as we need to be. And that's a really, really important point.
Okay. Representative Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a recovering alcoholic, AA standard for clean and sober is usually clean and sober for 5 years, which is a pretty high standard. And I think a pretty reasonable one. On the other hand, statistics that I've seen that have much shorter completion of programs or sober for a year, although that's not a real high standard, they're incredibly cost-effective from a standpoint that even if somebody hasn't maintained complete sobriety, there's usually a significant reduction mm-hmm. in the amount of drug or alcohol usage. There may still be some relapses that occur, but for short periods and then people get back on track, their ability to work, their ability to make child support payments, their ability to pay taxes and stay out of jail are dramatically improved, even though maybe the total sobriety that we'd all like to see may not be there, but the payoff I've seen on some studies is as high as 14-1.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, some programs work a lot better than others, and we need to constantly be examining that.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair,
Senator Wesson,
and probably having at least as much experience around those tables as Representative Hansen. Even the 12-step programs, which the state incorporates in some of our public, I mean, they use that as a foundation. It's not all good from day one. I mean, there's fits and stops and starts, and that's just their standard, which I think is a reasonable standard. But my point is that a lot of the state programs, Trail to End and some of those, incorporate AA's 12-step program into their efficacy on their treatment. So point is that I think it's a good collaboration between the original AA concept and what the state does. Most of them do.
The only point I'm trying to make here is let's take a look at this in phase two and see if the performance measures relate to the right things, outputs or outcomes. And then I'd like to have us go back just for a moment to page one and flag number six, the long-term non-institutional care. Not that it's not vitally important, but let's take a look closely at the delivery of services and alternatives, whether it be smaller units in communities or whatever. But we ought to look at that carefully just because it's so important and so expensive.
Oh.
Parag, is there any...
Excuse me. Mr. Chair, it's very hard to hear. Can you speak up so we can take our notes to be prepared for phase two?
Okay, sorry. I didn't realize that.
We got move it.
Yeah. Testing?
I think we're just talking to the side as opposed to talking forward.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll be.
What we're doing.
I think that other way to say that, Mr. Chair, is that everyone in the room could hear just fine except for Cindy.
For Cindy's sake, we will speak up.
Thank you.
All right, finishing page two. Is there any other areas that strike out that you really want us to put as a high priority in our phase two review?
No, Mr. Chair, back up to on page two, just to comment on the CHIPS payment. We, you know, the range was 2 to 49, and you commented the department had it at 45, and we ended up ranking it at 10. I think maybe part of the methodology or the philosophy of the department on that was this is CHIPS. I mean, that's children's, obviously. I mean, that's real warm and fuzzy, but this is above, and somebody help me, above what, 150-185% of the poverty line?
0 to 5, 133 to 185, 6 to 18, 100 to 185.
But we don't get the accelerated match until we get over a given percent of the poverty line.
For those poverty lines I just mentioned, that's what the match is higher, but it is an optional program.
So it is. So we're getting some kids pretty low down in the poverty line.
Older children. Mm-hmm. Particularly in the teenagers, above 6, below 18.
Okay.
But there are other programs that also chip in there, that steps in.
Yeah, why don't you come on up, Barney?
Chair Richardson, members of the subcommittee, Barney Spate, Office of Medical Assistance Program. Just to elaborate on the difference of the ranking from the perspective that I was involved with others in the ranking is that, and I think I mentioned this in our phase one hearing, is that the difficulty we had is in looking at comparing health programs with particularly specific eligibility health programs with population-based health programs and with other social services programs. In our ranking, CHIP fell lower because we were looking at it is an optional program, even though the match is very high. But we were also looking at things like public, you know, drinking water safety, et cetera. And so in our ranking, we had to weigh all of these interprogrammatic differences and the optional programs. Hence, ours came at 45. But Senator Westland is right that the CHIP program does reach down into lower income children that are not otherwise required to be covered by Title 19.
Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Spate? All right. Let's look at our page three. We have people here for clarification if there's issues that we need to clarify at this time, or we can just flag them for greater focus in phase two. In other words,
less than a third of them about how far the rest of them are closer than that, which is statistically speaking.
I think we ought to look at number 23, which is the Oregon State Hospital. That's something we have to focus in. There's going to be a report that's coming out in the next couple of months. But we need to look closely at that.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Carter.
We certainly should take a look at, and I'm hoping that it's beyond this session kind of look at the long-term care arena, because the long-term care arena is almost off the map in terms of its cost and how it's going up and away. And so I'm hoping that we will have a more long-term look at long-term care.
Absolutely. The aging population is going to be a huge issue.
For which I'm already in, Mr. Chairman. So I want you guys to take good care of me.
Guaranteed. You'll be here like Denny Jones. Comments or concerns? Page three.
Mr. Chairman, again, to the long-term care, that non-institutional care, you know, that happens to be one of those rankings that, that had a fairly widespread, and I'd suggest it's one we have further discussion to see if we can't figure out what each person was thinking and close that gap.
Okay.
Are you referring to now or in phase two?
In phase two.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Can I just,
Senator Carter?
We certainly should flag adoption because I wanted to know, can I just ask that, that question that
certainly.
Is...
We have a question about adoption.
Sector. Are the, is the rate for adoptions going up in terms of the number of kids coming into the system that need adoption? Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Ramona?
On page four? Okay. Page four, line.
Chair Richardson and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ramona Foley from the Department of Human Services. In answer to the question from Senator Carter about the number of children, we do have a substantial number of children who are freed for adoption who are going to be adopted and have those placements finalized. The total number of finalized adoptions has edged downward a little bit because with the Adoption and Safe Families Act, we had a backlog of children who came through the system over the last 5 years. And so we probably peaked last year before last in terms of numbers of adoptions done. That doesn't mean we won't have more children coming into the system. As the numbers of children in foster care increases, it increases the likelihood that those numbers could go back up again. But right now, we've seen a slight downward trend in terms of finalized adoptions.
Kind of in response to your point, though, it used to be that foster care paid, you know, there was money paid to the foster parents,
right.
And then when a child was adopted, it became part of the family and was treated like all other children. But as what I see is there's been a huge change where now if you adopt a child, you continue to get payments as if you were a foster parent almost. I mean, the number of payments has skyrocketed at a huge cost. And I don't.
And Chair Richardson, to that point, we now have more children in the state who are receiving adoption assistance than we have in foster care. And that is not an unusual trend across the country after the Adoption and Safe Families Act. And the law that you're referencing, the decision was made by Congress that it didn't make sense to deny the child adoption finalization based on the fact they were receiving a foster care payment if, in fact, the continuation of that payment meant they would be a finalized adoption and they could be closed out of the system. So, therefore, it's no longer requiring the work of a caseworker or the court system or all the other systems that support that child. So it's a good thing for the child. It also, in some respects, represents a decrease in the cost of keeping the child in foster care. But you're absolutely right, Chair Richardson. It is a growing population for us in terms of the budget across the country.
One
other
question.
Oh, sir.
What's
Senator.
The return? How many families are returning kids to the system per year, you think, you said?
Chair Richardson and Senator Carter, we have a very good rate of confirmation or finalization of adoption. Our disruption rate is somewhere in the neighborhood, I think, of about maybe less than 4%. It holds up very well. We do intensive work when the child is placed in the adoptive home before we finalize that adoption. There's a period of supervision and services offered to that family. So I think that the quality of what we have done in adoption is very good in this state and holds up well compared to other states. And that's an important messaging with families who do adopt, that we do not expect them at some point to come back and bring the child back into the system. And so there are laws and regulations around that process if that becomes necessary.
Thank you.
It's actually very complicated to adopt.
Yeah.
And there's a balance in that it's not easy to adopt. It takes months and months and countless forms and countless interviews, and having been through it personally and recently talked to a constituent who went through it as well, even in a family adoption where he's adopting cousins because of drug situation, it went on almost, you know, for months. And yet you got this counterbalance of not wanting to move so quickly that there's mistakes. It's a very difficult balance, I'm sure, to reach. But we will need to look at that. Okay, we're on page four.
Mm-hmm.
you've had any of these cause you undue concern when you were going through your list?
Well, I would say items, thank you, Mr. Chairman, I would say items with the preliminary ranking 29 and 33 have some of the largest gaps between them. And again, mm-hmm. hopefully during our phase two discussions, we could maybe vet out what those differences are and see if some of us had a different understanding of the program.
Okay. All right. Sir Westland, anything that's standing out to you that we need to really focus on, or
no?
Not?
I'm
okay.
You're right.
I look at these, and with regard to Representative Hanna's point, the discrepancies. I think that's exactly what Phase Two was designed for. Mm-hmm. You know, vetting some of these differences. In some of these larger discrepancies, we will see some of our own philosophical differences come out, and that's exactly what the committee process is all about, is to arrive at consensus and functionally prioritize.
That's good.
Would like.
And we'll bring that out. It's interesting, in talking to the constituents that responded, there'd be a huge gap, and I wrote them back and said, why is this big gap? And one said, well, this is pass-through money, so it should be at the top. And the other said, this is pass-through money, so it should be at the bottom. So it, a lot of it is based on the criteria that each individual is using to reach their decision.
Well, and I think that's what all of us kind of did. I mean, here, go do this. That's the right direction. We all had different colored lenses on, if you will, when we looked at these. And I think with some, you know, probably very little conversation, the shading of that perspective of those lenses will get more similar. So we will come to more similar, you know, outcomes, conclusions, rankings. But as we sat down, we were all different individuals with different perspectives. That's why I'm looking forward to phase two.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The way I looked at some of these and some of the ones that I ranked quite low, regardless of the importance of the program, was because I thought there might be some potential for some policy changes that could shift funding or different ways to approach it. Not necessarily the value of the service. And if we get a chance to raise some of those issues in phase two, I think it could be helpful. And if it's not in the cards, then obviously I'd want to re-rank them much, much higher.
One of the hard parts in this ranking was not considering the money. As my understanding was that, you know, this was to be priorities, not looking at where it came from or whether it's fully federally funded or all of those other things. But we'll certainly be focusing on that in phase two.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing, and having, you know, we all just received this document this morning, so you haven't had a lot of time to get through it. But just in a quick look through here, one thing.
Are you referring to the compilation?
The compilation. No. The compilation document to kind of see where everybody is coming from. Okay. And keep in mind that if you statistically speaking, if you add back Senator Monis Anderson's lineup directly with DHS, there's going to be a shift there. But regardless of that, there's still less than a third of the items on the entire list have greater than a 5-time spread between high and low. And even within that third that do have that much spread, the preliminary ranking number could be closer to where it was. So, I mean, as we look through here, you could say two-thirds of these things we were relatively close on, and only a third is there a significant difference.
Well, it helps.
So as we, you know, go through phase two, if we go to look at those things where we had, you know, the greatest difference, and within those differences, many times three of the numbers might have been fairly close, and I say that only because you look at where the preliminary ranking came out, there may have been one who was away from that, and we can have that discussion and, you know, find out what they were thinking about the program. Maybe you learn something from the others as we go through this, that the program, they ranked it based on the federal match fund or some other issue.
That's true. Someone said Anderson?
No, I agree.
Okay. All right. We're over on page 5. Interesting, the second line is is this independent living, you know, that provides financial subsidies for adolescents 16 years or older, and the range is from number 7 to number 70. And so that's one of those that will be interesting to later on, you know, discuss why. And we'll find out more as to what that program really does and how vital it is as far as part of the transition for foster children.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hanna.
Thank you. On that page as well, the preliminary ranking item 35 and 40 both have what I would consider to be that wide range and would need discussion.
Okay. Let's see. 40 is incredible.
But you see, it's still...
So three comments on that?
Three. Those, wherever they were, had to be on the upper.
Going over to page 6. We get clarification on the Oregon Supplemental Income Program, OSIP, one more time, as far as, you know, where contributing $20.40 annually. My recollection was that that related to an SSI, and there was some connection with federal money. Cindy, would you like to give us a little
bit of... Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Cindy Becker, Deputy Director of the Department of Human Services. We all questioned this, to be quite honest, when we were first going through the rankings. And it's not a lot of money, but essentially it's the gateway, I think is the term we've used, to a lot of individuals getting Medicaid coverage. In other words, we have to have this in order for those individuals. So while it's a little bit amount of money, it's kind of your stake in the ground, if you will. If you want to provide Medicaid to various populations, you have to have this. So it's, but in and of itself, you would think it would be almost at the bottom, but you have to look at it in the context of the Medicaid program.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Would there be any potential for this to be addressed as part of a federal waiver? It seems like it's $1.70 a month.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I don't think so. We can check into it, but I don't think so. It's not part of it. I don't think so. We'll check it.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Chair, could you ask
Senator Wesson,
Ms. Becker, to speak a little louder at the microphone?
Can you hear me now, Representative Senator Wesson?
I think I will live to regret that statement.
I think you will, but that's fine. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Huh? I mean, Senator.
Can you hear me now?
Also on page 6, discrepancy or just question marks, the I know if we rank food stamps. One of the departments, number 19, we ranked at 44. And I think part of that, at least perhaps an explanation on my part, is, you know, we're going to do food stamps. And so you look at that, and I'm just going, you know, food stamp, that's just pretty darn important. I mean, these are folks that are no other government assistance or very little. And the... I don't know how we got it at 44, but I think we need to look at that one.
Okay, we'll come back there. We've got that flagged in. Okay, moving on to page 7. We have a countrywide discrepancy on long-term care, in-home care, Oregon Project Independence. We ought to look at that. And the DV Housing Trust Fund, Fairview Community Housing Trust Fund. We need to focus on that as well.
Please.
Mr. Britton.
I've asked Ms. Becker if she could clarify on the general fund portion of that at some point. She will check on that part.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Britton, we have checked on that. If you want me to talk about it now.
Go ahead.
Thank you. The Housing Trust Fund not only includes the proceeds from the sale of Fairview, but there are pieces of this that are paying for the housing, the homes that were built for the individuals who left Fairview. So these are dollars that we send over to Treasury to pay for the debt for the bonds for those homes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is debt service. The general fund piece is debt service in here.
Correct.
Okay.
Which one is that?
It's at the very bottom.
Number
53.
Okay, there's
62.
Right, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hanna?
I also think item 50 with a range from 9 to 67 probably needs some discussion as we go to item.
Okay.
Yeah, but look at the validation. I mean, they were 50 and we were 50.
Absolutely.
Dead on.
Yeah. It's like my watch is, it has no battery, but it's correct twice a day. Number eight. Again, look at number 54, alcohol and drug prevention. Danger. It was actually pretty tight. I think also we ought to focus on number 60, which is the Eastern Oregon Training Center. That's an area that we need to look at and make sure to bore down on that.
Mr. Chair,
Senator
also our number 54, if we could flag that, flesh that out a little bit, alcohol and drug.
Right. Okay. Good.
Those guys actually produce returns on our state dollars that any one of us in our own business lives or investment portfolios, if we could get those returns, we would, well, we probably wouldn't be sitting behind this dais, let me put it that way. Plus, 8-1.
You would, if you're compassionate, caring, so.
You'd be able to afford to.
Say that in a long moment. Was that a sentence?
I'm not sure. We're moving right along. I'm going, moving over to page 9. So it's interesting to see that our range is also in, you know, the higher end, as is DHS's range. Let's get this far along. Any of those really stand out?
Our page is close.
Special attention. Okay,
what do you think?
I think so. Number 65 is employment-related daycare, and we had a presentation on it yesterday, but one of the things that we've requested is a more in-depth amount of information on the various child care programs in the various agencies so that we can see the you know, the cross effect. That's number 65.
65.
Mr. Chairman, I'm glad you're going to look at that again, because when you look at the... Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Hansen's hand was over.
Oh,
okay. Sorry. Anyway, Senator. Because I think that philosophically we can't ask the department to do one thing and then we reflect on another one in terms of getting people off welfare to work. There's no way they can get them off welfare to work unless child care is provided. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you keep them in the home. And so it's like, you know, kind of we're saying it through our mouths, but we are not backing it up with our actions. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to get people, low-income people, off welfare into the workforce, then we've got to provide the system of care that's necessary for having them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think on these programs that are in the bottom of the rankings, they probably deserve some scrutiny just from the standpoint of the importance of being on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want to focus on that.
We don't want to make have unintended consequences. The other thing that I'm in looking at them, I can't imagine, like on number 63, youth investment program, the Level 7 money that's $11 million in federal pass-through that we use to, I think, primarily goes to Children and Families Commission, that we would actually be seriously considering cutting that. But
well, no, but this, of course, was a prioritization without looking at the money.
I love
I know it. That's why I couldn't do it.
But I understand. You're right. It's not likely to go anywhere. We have two on this sheet that deal with adoptions, three actually. And I think that we ought to flag those as well.
Right.
Let's see. I'm interested in purchased adoptions and the contracting with licensed adoption agencies outside of the government. See just how that compares as far as cost, efficiency, time, those kinds of things, and how widespread that is. Any other comments or focus on page 9? Okay, we're at page 10. We had unanimity, almost. At least we ended up with the cross-section all agreeing that what DHS had put as number 73 would remain there. All right. Would you please review these with us?
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, let me just review the list and highlight the ones that we flagged. Number 6 on page 1.
All right.
Yeah, these are for further review in phase 2. Number 6 on page 1, the state operated community programs. On the second page, I've got two of them. Number 10, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the alcohol and drug treatment, two below that one, ranked 11-12.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Judy Baker.
On that page as well, there are two that have significant differences in the ranking, and that would be the one that's tied for 11 and 12, the personal care nursing special rates,
mm-hmm.
and then number 15, the other tribal programs. I don't know that you
well,
pinpointed
that range,
this.
We should okay. focus on that.
Okay. On page 3, I have number 17, non-institutional care community facilities. And I have numbers 2021, which is the Eastern Oregon Psych Center, and 2324, all part of the Oregon State Hospital System.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned a report coming on that one in May.
Okay.
Now, question here.
Senator Moss Anderson.
When we're ranking these, I mean, when you're saying we're flagging these are ones that maybe will come out of their ranking status? Is that
That's
what you're saying?
It may change. Any of these may change by the end of phase two, but we want to give special emphasis on these for various reasons that have been indicated. And they very well could change in their ranking order
right.
by the end of phase two.
Mm.
And I think, Mr. Chair, you want the department to pay particular attention and bring out some information on these particular ones.
Right.
On page 4, I've got number 26, the adoption assistance. Number 29, the OHP physical health leverage. Number 33, foster care reunification, Native American relative foster care.
Senator Moss Anderson.
I'm learning. It's a little slow. And again, these are issues I do not have enough information on. And it's the domestic violence issues, and I'm looking at what we ranked as 50, and where was the other domestic violence that I saw?
Well, we ranked it as 31-32.
Yeah, but there's several of them.
There's several of them.
One is 3132 on page 4.
Okay, we can add that.
And also on page 3, average score 32, I have a hole punch, so I don't know where we are.
Yeah, well, it's tied for 23-24.
Okay.
So domestic violence services. Fine, we'll put that on.
Yeah, I would like to address the domestic violence issues where they...
Representative Henson.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I too would like, under phase 2, for us to maybe get in-depth discussion of the domestic violence issues, similar to what we did on employment yesterday, employment-related daycare. There's so many different funding streams for domestic violence programs that it might be helpful to sort all of them out, because it involves this department, Department of Justice, courts, victim advocate. I mean, it's pretty complicated, and it might be nice to get everyone in the same room to show us how these programs fit together if they do.
And another reason I'm having a little problem, too, is, Mr. Chair, the self-sufficiency programs. And I'm not sure, they're sort of scattered throughout all of these. And I just don't know, Mr. Britton, if we have
a compilation
of all the self-sufficiency. I couldn't really rate even self-sufficiency because I wasn't quite sure what the services were in those programs. And I know they're all throughout. And we're starting to hit more of them now on 28 and 31, 32, and...
That's a whole department. I mean,
it's a whole department.
Mr. Chair and Senator Monis Anderson, the department will be going through cluster by cluster through its budget, and self-sufficiency is a major component of the children, adults, and families. So, you know, we can ask as many questions as
excellent
you'd like to do.
All
at
right
that point.
Okay.
On page 5, we flag number 35, the foster care reunification treatment foster care. We flag number 36, independent living. And we flag number 40 at the bottom of the page, the special rates foster care.
Mr. Henson.
Based on the range, could we flag number 34, the public health?
34?
Yes, that's what I was looking for, too. Yeah. I was looking, I see the public health officer one, but I couldn't, yeah.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Henson.
Hannah. That's okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look, for instance, like item 34, the public health system, you see where the range is, Senator Monis Anderson, like the 10 to 61, but the original ranking by the department was 32, and our preliminary ranking was 34.
Right.
So on some of those,
you're right,
though the range was broad, the group was very close to where they originally had
I see that
the mark.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
Just this kind of a process management question. In terms, this is the week for us to turn things in and then get it to the co-chairs. And I'm wondering if, for members, if it might not, since we are having somebody to flag and it's going to bog down our work, we want everybody to be knowledgeable. I'm wondering if they might ask some people from the department to come and talk with them or something, because I'm trying to.
Okay, we're talking about these that are being flagged for phase 2. They have to do with
turning
in. Yeah. Now we're not going to delay submission of this based on these. These are just areas that during phase 2 we want to make sure we have more in-depth review.
Okay. Because I want to be a part of that was my concern.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we do have a process for that in place, right?
Yeah.
It's working well.
Well, and part of the reason this is going past is that there's been a lot of time spent out of this
dais
going over all these things as individually.
On page 6, Mr. Chair and members, I've got number 41 flag, the OSIP. We've got number 44 flag, the food stamp program, NA food stamps. Would you like to flag 46? It's not lots of money, but there's a divergence of opinion on it.
Yeah, but are down this, right, this is Representative Hanna's point, down this far, I mean, the department's got it as a 60 or 59, we've got it as a 46, mm-hmm. an average 53, mm-hmm. we're mm-hmm. pretty close to being right okay. twice mm-hmm. a day on
this. Mm-hmm. All right, page 7, I've got Oregon Project Independence, 48-49. Got foster care reunification one-time payments, number 50. And we've got the one at the bottom of the page, DD Housing Trust Fund, 53.
Okay. Oh, excuse me. What was the first one on page 7? The first one we...
OPI. 48-49 OPI.
Okay, page 8.
48-49.
Right.
Put that in CAF.
Well, there's, look right below it.
Oh, two 48-49s,
aren't you? Yeah, the second 48-49.
Thank you.
On page 8, number 54, alcohol and drug prevention. And number 60, at the bottom of the page, Eastern Oregon Training Center. Page 9, number 65, employment-related daycare, and then three of them related to adoptions, number the second 66, 67, number 70, and number 71. We also had a comment that any of these general funded programs at the bottom of the list, we need to take a look at, be aware of.
All right. Our lists are coordinated.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I ask a question.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you. On some of these, where you want us to provide more information, I'm a little confused because on some of them our rankings were exactly the same as yours, so it's just a range issue, but you still want us to provide more information on specifically
in
on
those two. We right. want to really focus on those, just because we want clarification, because we did have such a range.
Okay, thank you.
I think that we need to schedule to meet tomorrow in case anything comes up, but barring that, it'll be a very short meeting. But we will convene tomorrow in case there's something that needs to be discussed. But as far as the process that we've been asked to do, we have ranked these from 173. It's certainly not carved in stone, but we'd like to submit that. Do we have a consensus that we could submit these?
Yeah, so move here.
That's excellent. Okay. Ripstein, Henson.
Well, I think we've came a long ways. I certainly would appreciate the opportunity to adjust some of my ranking just based on things I heard today.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about major, but I think an opportunity to refine this list a little bit probably would serve us well and might cut down some of the needs for additional discussion later on.
All right. We won't submit these until after tomorrow meeting.
Mr. Chair, we had originally thought that we might need Monday in terms of final subcommittee review of the list. So we have that alternative. If we could bring them back tomorrow with the corrected column, but
with other changes if you want to allow the subcommittee members to give us additional switching around. But we could bring that back tomorrow morning for you to look at, or we could bring it back Monday for the subcommittee, whichever you feel more comfortable with.
Well, why don't we see how drastic the changes are, but we will, we're scheduled to meet tomorrow, so we will convene at 8:30, and if there's no major changes, it'll be a very short meeting, but at least we're on the calendar in case something comes up as you go through this. Mr. Britton. Well, if there was a misunderstanding, and Senator Moss Anderson, if it was your intention that your submission was going to be identical to the one that was provided, then we have to honor that because that was your intention.
That was my intention.
It will change
some
numbers, but I don't. But I have no problem with that. I think it's still part of the process that we've gone through, and so that's right. We'll honor that. Make that one change. Now, further comment, or there is other Senator Westland.
Mr. Chair, just two general comments. One, I was very pleased to see the public health, the function of public health, which is kind of the forgotten, you know, if it, everything's going great, it's out of sight, out of mind. I was glad to see that that received some rankings of relative substance and importance in this presentation.
Well, I, for one, ranked it higher because I would ask myself, is this something that government really needs to be doing? And that was one that it, certainly it did, as far as I was concerned.
And then to skewer someone who's not here to defend themselves, Senator Bates, I must say, well, Barney Spate and several in the room, when the Health Services Commission first came out with their prioritized list, I'd like to point out that I think we did a much better job, considering that on the first run with national TV cameras presenting this revolutionized, prioritized primary rationed health care plan, considering cost and age of patient and efficacy of treatment and treatability, all these, you know, wonderful variables, their first prioritization, number one condition that needed to be treated was thumb sucking. I think that we've done a much better job.
Well, it only took them 4 years to come up with
that. Yeah, it took them 4 years.
Mr.
Chairman. Yeah. Senator Carter.
I just saw a questioning look on Ms. Becker's face, and I was wondering if she wanted to have anything said on paper.
They can't hear.
Okay, yes.
She still thinks thumb sucking is the number one.
I just said I noticed a questioning look on your face, Ms. Becker. I was wondering if there was...
any comments?
Yeah, no, the issue.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, no, that was pain. It wasn't questioning.
It had to do with Senator Westland's comments.
No, she's trying to be cute. She took a boot off.
Right.
Is there any other comments or points before we adjourn today? Thank you all for your input and for being part of this process. We are now adjourned.